It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Soil fumigants are pesticides applied to soil to control weeds and pests in the soil. The state agriculture department says in some cases, Wisconsin law is stricter about their use than federal environmental regulations. We learn about the latest Wisconsin research on soil fumigants, and you can call in to ask a question. You can add your comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Richard Lankow is an associate professor of plant pathology, leads a lab focused on plant microbes and soil health in the UW-Madison College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Richard, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So your team collected soil and potatoes from 7 commercial potato fields in Wisconsin, located in the central and northern regions of the state. How do potato farming practices differ in these two areas?
They're different in a number of ways, most importantly because they're grown for different purposes. So most of the potatoes that we eat are grown in the central part of the state, in that central sands region. And in the northern part of the states, we're growing potatoes largely to serve as what we call seed potatoes for other potato growers. So they're managed for different purposes, and they deal with very different soils and very different problems.
And you focused on these types of fields. Why potatoes?
Why potatoes? Well, partly because they're a really important crop globally, and they're a really important crop for Wisconsin. We're one of the nation's largest producers of potatoes. But they're also a really challenging crop to grow. Because they're grown underground, they have to deal with a lot of soil-borne issues, including really consequential diseases caused by fungi, nematodes, and bacteria that require some intense management.
Can you walk us through how soil fumigation works, what that process is like?
Yeah. So as you said earlier, it's a process where a liquid is injected into the soil, beneath the surface of the soil. And then that liquid volatilizes, means it kind of evaporates into a gaseous form. And then that gas percolates up through the soil profile. And the chemical is toxic to a wide range of organisms, including pathogens, but also all sorts of microbes, bacteria and fungi and nematodes, which are the tiny little worms.
And so this process has also been called sterilizing the soil. Is that a way to describe it?
That might be a bit misleading.
Huh.
It is killing a lot of things. It's certainly not killing everything. So it's not the case that the soil is sterile afterwards. Our hope is that you've reduced the population of the microbes that you don't want, which are the pathogens, but not too severely reduced the population of the microbes that you do want. And there are a lot more microbes that you do want in your soil than ones you don't.
And some of the fields you studied are subjected to fumigation and non-fumigation treatments. What does fumigation do that then appeals to farmers, and how widely is it used?
Well, the big appeal is this pest control process. And in certain fields, that is very important. Without the fumigation, you see much reduced yields from the pathogens. It's used very extensively in Wisconsin, especially in that central area of the state, what we call the central sands. Our best numbers suggest around 80% of the potato acreage is fumigated every year. So that's about 65,000 acres of potatoes every year that are being subjected to this practice.
Are like organic crops, organic certified fields exposed to soil fumigation processes or these practices?
They would not be. No, none of the soil fumigant processes would be acceptable under an organic label.
What other crops are most often associated with chemical fumigation, soil fumigation?
So it's really used in what we call our high-value crops, so something that is going to command a reasonable price. So these are largely vegetable crops and some fruits. In Wisconsin, it's mostly potatoes. There's sometimes fumigation used on other vegetable crops, like tomatoes in some cases, But potatoes are a big one in Wisconsin.
So what is the difference then between like soil fumigation and injecting these liquids right into the soil versus what happens in overhead crop dusting and applying chemicals to alter the soil that way?
Yeah, it's a great question. So one difference is that the soil fumigation process is, we call it broad spectrum, or it's not targeted, meaning that the chemicals that we use for fumigation are generally poisonous to a wide range of things. And it also needs to be done far in advance of growing your crop. So typical practice would be to fumigate in the fall, and then you grow your potato crop in that next following summer. So the farmers have to make a real long-term plan whether they're going to do this or not. As opposed to managing, a disease or an insect pest that you can see that's on the surface, on the leaves of your plant, then you could wait, right, until you think the conditions are right for that disease. You could wait to see if you have it or not. You can be a lot more targeted in how you manage it. And
It's a
because you might know what disease you're working with, because you can see it, you can also use a much more targeted chemistry to hit just that one kind of fungus or bacteria.
Oh, that makes sense. We're talking about soil fumigation, how it works, and the latest research in Wisconsin with UW-Madison plant pathologist Richard Lankow. Call in with questions and comments about farm fields and fumigation. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Richard, digging in a bit into your research, you found potatoes responding differently to fumigation depending where they're grown in our state. Is the difference related to varying soil types?
We think so. We think the biggest difference is what's already in that soil, both the chemistry of the soil, we call the structure of the soil, whether it's got a lot of organic matter in it, whether it's a kind of a thicker, heavier soil with a lot of clay versus the really loose, very sandy soils that we have in the center of the state. All of those things affect how the chemistry of the fumigation works, but they also affect the whole soil ecosystem and all the other microbes. So one of the big take-home messages from our research was that soils that already have a, if you call it healthier, microbial community, have a lot more of those beneficial microbes in them, don't need the fumigation as much. They can control the pathogen better on their own.
And I wonder, with loamy soil or like rich soil that contains a mix of sand and silt and it's got the clay in it, how does a soil like that take to fumigation?
Yeah, so the heavier the soil with more of the clay and loam, the fumigant will move more slowly through that soil, just like the gaseous form of the fumigant. And so there also might be more, pockets in that soil where the fumigant can't get to. So in some ways it becomes less effective. Where in that loose sandy soil, a lot of air spaces, so the gaseous chemical can fill out the air spaces very effectively. And so it has a bigger impact on the soil microbes, both the good guys and the bad guys.
Both the good guys and the bad guys. So, looking at that microbial life in a particular soil, can you talk about the yield responses to fumigation and the interplay there that you found in your research?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the interesting and important things we found was that in some cases, fumigation was doing exactly what it was supposed to, in that we were getting big positive responses in yield, much more yield in the fumigated part of the field versus the control unfumigated part. But that wasn't always the case. There were situations where the fumigation didn't increase yield, even a few cases where it decreased yield. And so part of our goal now is trying to understand why that is. Can we predict when this practice is going to be really necessary and when it could be skipped with no loss, and even situations where it would be detrimental?
I wonder if that's possible to take a soil sample in the early fall and be able to test it in some way to predict whether soil fumigation would be necessary.
Yeah, that is an excellent idea. And it is one we are actively trying to develop right now in our lab. One thing that has changed in our ability to to do something like that in the last few decades has been our increased ability to measure and understand the microbial component of soil. So farmers have for a very long time been able to test the chemistry of the soil and the structure of the soil. But being able to test, you know, what kind of microbes are in a given soil is not been available until relatively recently. But we have a lot more ability to do that now. So our hope is that we will be able to develop these recommendations that if you can test to the microbial component of your soil, we could fairly accurately predict whether you're going to have problems with a certain disease and how well that soil would respond to being fumigated.
But that also requires some flexibility on behalf of farmers who may do a consistent thing, you know, at a consistent time to their soil. It's been called the fumigation treadmill. You know, how does repeated fumigation affect soil?
That's a great question. It's actually not very well documented. We have this sense that repeated fumigation, while it may drive the pathogen populations down, it's also potentially driving down a lot of the other beneficial microbial populations and leaving soils in this more vulnerable state where if the pathogen were to be reintroduced, there would be nothing to stop it from growing. And so the soil actually becomes more and more dependent on fumigation.
Richard Lankow is an associate professor of plant pathology at UW-Madison and an author of a study published in the journal Field Crops Research about soil fumigation and the effects on soil health in potato fields in particular. Call in with a question. You can add your views at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A UW-Madison study examines the soil management practice of soil fumigation, which is supposed to suppress weeds and improve crop yields. The researchers made discoveries, as we're talking about bacterial diversity in soil and yield responses in potato fields. Call in with a question. You can add your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Richard Lankow is a UW-Madison Associate Professor of Plant Pathology. So, Richard, let's step back to talk about the people who apply fumigants, that they must complete Environmental Protection Agency training. They have to be certified. Who is doing this work?
It's mostly done by, you know, specialist consultants. So these would be groups of people, like you said, who have that training, also all that specialized equipment, and they would be contracted to come fumigate certain fields. It's not, unlike some other management practices, it's not usually done by the farmer himself.
And so these practices, you know, we've been talking about the microbial life and the impact there, but, you know, a soil has a pH. What is the impact of soil fumigation when, you know, this, or can the soil's natural acidity be altered?
So all sorts of aspects of the soil properties, if you will, we found can be altered. And it's a little unclear what's driving what. Because soil is such an integrated system, if you change one thing, you can end up changing lots of other things downstream. So we've seen changes in soil nutrient profiles, right? The specific chemistry of certain elements, pH, all sorts of other things. And I guess the important thing to think and keep in mind is that those all work together, right? It's really difficult to pull out any one particular consequence of the practice.
Well, let's pull out one particular chemical. Your study focused on the soil fumigant metam sodium, most widely used of agricultural pesticides, one of them. What are the health and safety concerns of metam sodium?
Yeah, it does have some serious health concerns for the people applying it. and anyone in the nearby area. So because it, as we said, it turns into a gas and then evaporates out of the soil, it has the potential to be inhaled, and it can be a serious skin and respiratory irritant. So anyone applying the fumigant needs to be very careful and have all the proper protective equipment. And it needs to be done carefully, at the right place and time to avoid any drift of the volatile chemical into people living off the farm. And that has happened in the past, in some cases. So it's something that applicators are just very aware of.
What kind of PPE? Is it like full suits or just respirators?
Respirators, depending on which fumigant chemical is used, some variety of respirator could be a half, sort of a half face, or could be a full, enclose your whole head kind of apparatus.
What could happen to skin? I mean, I would imagine it would be a huge skin irritant.
I mean, I've not personally experienced it, so I won't describe what it feels like, but I understand it, can be can cause irritation, itching, and retching, rash type things if you're exposed to a high quantity of it.
Mark in Sun Prairie called in and said that they grew up in northern Wisconsin. It's part of the state where people grow lots of potatoes, Mark said, and notices that there's also a lot of cancer in the area, and is just wondering how dangerous in general are the chemicals for people's health and soil fumigation.
I'm not aware of any links between the specific chemicals used in fumigation and sort of long-term chronic health problems in people. So part of the concern with fumigation is the fact that they do volatilize and get up into the air, but it also means that they dissipate fairly quickly. So they're different from some of the other agricultural inputs that have a long-term persistence in the environment. So, as far as I'm aware, and I should caveat that I'm absolutely not an expert on the human health or public health aspects of this. The concern with these chemicals is more short term.
There's another fumigant used to control pests. It's methyl bromide, and the EPA says methyl bromide contributes to ozone layer depletion. So production and use of the gas has been phased out in the United States. Has restricted use of methyl bromide resulted in a greater reliance on other fumigants?
In some industries, that's true. Methyl bromide was, again, used in specific industries to tackle specific problems where it's been largely phased out. It's not entirely phased out yet. There are still some industries that use it in targeted ways. In some cases, they've switched to other fumigants like chlorpicrin or dimethyl sodium. In other cases, they've found other solutions to the problem.
Richard Lenkow is with us as we talk about agricultural soil health and fumigation practices, especially in Wisconsin potato fields. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Richard, what alternatives to chemical fumigation exist on the landscape?
Yeah, we're exploring a number of options. One idea is to use plants themselves, what we call cover crops, which are plants you grow in a field in between the cash crop you're growing to sell. And so you're growing them not to make money off them, but to do something beneficial for your soil. So some potential cover crops may be able to help suppress some of these pathogens in the same way that the fumigant does. We're also just generally interested in how we can make soils healthier so that the pathogen problem is not as much of a problem. So fumigation is less necessary if we have healthier microbial communities in their soil that make it harder for the pathogen to invade.
And cover crops, they're supposed to help keep that topsoil in place. Is fumigation linked to any causes in any sort of erosion, or does the practice deplete topsoil?
Yeah, interesting you asked that. Not directly the chemical is it so much, but remember, this is the chemical that has to be injected deep into the soil.
Yes.
So in order to do that, you have to rip up the soil, right? You have to till it deeply in order to get these shanks that inject the chemical in deep. And so that physical disruption of the soil can lead to erosion, can contribute to a loss of soil health in other ways.
Where will your research go from here? It seems like there are still quite a bit of unknowns.
There absolutely are. And so where our major focus right now is trying to understand that microbial community in the soil, the non-pathogenic microbes, how they're responding to the fumigants, but also how they can recover from fumigation, how they can recover from a long-term history of fumigation, as you mentioned. And with the ultimate goal of trying to figure out, are there ways, things we can do, practices that growers can take that would improve the health of their soil, promote the diversity of beneficial microbes, and get that soil to a place where the fumigation isn't needed or isn't needed as much, relying more on the sort of native ability of the soil ecosystem to control soil-borne pathogens rather than relying on chemical inputs. And that's a movement that's been very much supported by the growers in the state. They are dedicated to finding more sustainable practices and trying to reduce this fumigation practice in particular, both because of human health concerns, environmental concerns, and just economic concerns.
Richard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Richard Lankow is an associate professor of plant pathology and principal investigator of a lab studying soil health in UW-Madison's College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.